Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, if you want to get some in, we'll try to close it out. The conclusion of the program, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, always one of my favorite guests. We kind of feed off of each other on some of this stuff. But our good friend, former state senator Dick Brubaker, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. It's a another beautiful day in the capital city, and having fun watching the Democrats go after Trump's nominees. But I'm telling you, this is a tougher bunch than the usual group you see in front of Congress. Trump's people are certainly throwing as many punches as they're receiving, so I've had a good time watching it.
Well, it feels like, they decided they were going to go all in against Pete Hegseth, and then he didn't give him an opening. They didn't land. They threw some haymakers, didn't really land a blow, and it just didn't look good for them. And I think he's going to win.
They didn't have anything on it. I mean, the bottom line is they hate him because he's a Christian and he's a conservative, and maybe even a little bit because he's just too white. You know, I mean, the rap on Pete is just, nobody's accusing him of having been a crook or a bad general or, he's out of favor with the military elites, with guys like Miley, because he doesn't think you can be transgender and be a good soldier. I mean, that's the reason they hate him. It doesn't have anything to do with his ability to be a good Secretary of Defense. And given the state the military is in right now, what we need somebody who'll go in there and maybe start throwing chairs at people. I mean, if you look at what's going on in military procurement right now, our soldiers, our fighting men and women are not being well served by the people in charge of our military budgets. We need some just plain old honest non-woke Americans to clean things up. And I think Hegseth will probably do a pretty good job once he's confirmed.
I agree. And it's going to be a different approach, but probably a long-needed approach. I mean, we can't have the usual career general, it's not the usual, but are the career civil servant even, or the defense contractor guy, or whatever. And I just, you know, there's a time and place for every sort of leadership style. And I think now is the time to kind of go in a Pete Hegseth direction. But
we need somebody who actually gives a damn about soldiers and sailors and airmen. And I think he does. And I'll give you an example, not to step on any toes, but the Littoral Combat Ship Program, everybody admits that those ships are totally useless. They were great for, you know, the people who built them. But if you had a son or daughter in the Navy right now that was serving on board one of those ships in wartime, I mean, that's just a great way to find yourself at the bottom of the ocean dead. And the military spent $36 billion on that boondoggle, not to mention the Zumwalt destroyers. And, I mean, it's just one thing after another, where all they care about is enriching corporations, not giving our fighting men the best equipment they can have. And that, I mean, at some point, enough is enough.
Well, I hope you're not running for Congress in Mobile again there, Senator.
I'm not, but you know it's true. How many of those ships? Why is the Navy decommissioning all of those ships?
Because they're terrible ships. And I'm going to tell you this, though. When you first said that, and this was a few years ago, you said it on this program, and I'm not, I mean, I think you were right. I think that
damn right.
Well, that being said, it was a shock to a lot of people here. You know, they're like, oh, really? Those are bad ships? We don't like those? The propaganda machine was like in full swing, but the interpretation was, well, That guy, that Montgomery guy, old Cloverdale Dick there, he's anti-Mobile, and that's the way a lot of people took it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a son that serves in the military. And not only that, he's a Ranger, so he's just sort of the sharp end of the stick. You know, he gets deployed to all these places. And some of the equipment stories that he tells me about soldiers, American soldiers, the wealthiest country in the world, putting troops on the ground with some of the crappiest equipment that you can imagine, and people losing their lives because machinery not working the way it's supposed to. And I know that there are reasons that the Littoral Combat Ship program didn't work. And look, it's not the Port of Mobile. It's not the people that at Austral's fault. They didn't design those ships. But the bottom line is, it is immoral to put people in harm's way in ships that you know are not survivable.
Well, and let me say this. I think it's our politicians here in the States deserve some to blame because they weren't looking at it that way. They were just looking at, like, defense procurement as some kind of jobs program for the state.
And exactly right.
That's a fine byproduct. That's not why we do this, you know. And I'm not saying that they should have been anti-Austal, but maybe temper the enthusiasm and say,
well, what they've done is given the good people at Austral a better designed ship to build. Instead of, once they knew it didn't work, the sin wasn't that they built the first five or six and oh Lord, this is not a good design. The problem was they just kept building them, knowing that they didn't work. And now the Navy's got 20-odd brand-new littoral combat ships that they've already decommissioned because they just don't work. And for anybody who doubts this, how many foreign orders do we have for those ships? How many foreign militaries? You know, they're lining up to buy the F-35 because that's a great weapon system, and every country in the free world wants them. You know how many foreign orders we have for littoral combat ships? Zero. We can't even give them away because they don't work and they're expensive to maintain. And, you know, I want them to build Navy ships in Mobile, Alabama, but I want them to be ships that the young Americans that we put on them have a decent chance of coming home alive in if we get to a war with China.
Joined by former State Senator Dick Brubaker here on the program. We got to switch gears here, and I'm going to throw this at you because I saw it in my social media timeline. The Dothan Area Chamber of Commerce voted in a mock election on the next gubernatorial race. Listen to this. This is the movers and shakers in the Circle City down there, Senator. Of 136 responses in a mythical gubernatorial election, 49% favor Tommy Tuberville, 33% Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, and Rick Pate coming in at 11%, and former U.S. Ambassador Lindy Blanchard at 4%. This isn't scientific or anything, but, man, there sure are a lot of signs that there's an appetite for Coach to leave Washington, D.C. and come to Montgomery, aren't there?
I'm going to tell you something. I will admit, Coach first got elected, I thought, man, he's not going to be a good senator. I mean, he's a football coach, he's a great football coach, but is that enough? Man, I'm telling you, he's been a great senator. He's been fantastic. And Alabamians love somebody that just speaks their mind and lets the chips fall. And if Tommy Tuberville runs for governor, I will give him money, I'll campaign for him, I'll do whatever he wants, because he's already proven that he's going to do what he thinks is right, regardless of what anybody else says. And that's what you want at the end of the day. That's what you should want out of your politicians. And if Coates runs for governor, a lot of people who have been lining up to run when Kay Ivey retires, guys like Will Ainsworth, I think Will may be smart if he waits another term. Because I don't think Coach is beatable.
I don't think Coach is beatable by Will Ainsworth. I think Donald Trump comes in and he's a flamethrower for Tommy Tuberville in a gubernatorial election, it becomes just, you can't win. But that's the only way.
Even without Donald Trump, and let's say Trump stays.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but
Trump, well, Tommy Tuberville has paid his dues, and he has proven to Alabamians that he will take unpopular positions, like being not just saying he's pro-life, but actually going to Congress and acting like a pro-life senator and voting that way. I mean, he will go to the mat. He's proven that. And that's what Alabamians want. Well, and if he runs up, he's going to win.
Let me say this. I could kind of, like, seeing Ainsworth around Montgomery and how he interacts with the different constituencies and the lobbyists, and we know how the big mules, they seem to be okay with him when he goes and speaks at BCA. He's received favorably. I don't know about Coach. Like, what do you think? I mean, Montgomery's very different from Washington, D.C. It's just such a different kind of swamp. But, like, what do you think the way we've done things for the last 100 years in this state, some of the same entities, what do you think they would make of Tuberville in the governor's mansion?
Oh, a governor that actually governs in favor of the people, not in favor of the vested interests? Well, I think they'd hate it. But I got news for you. There's not a thing they could do about it. A guy like Tommy Tuberville would not be reacting to the legislature. He would be setting the agenda and forcing the legislature to react to him. And if a governor is a strong leader, especially if he's leading the charge for things that your average Alabamian wants, I'm telling you, the BCA and the rest of that crowd would just have to live with it, because he's going to not only would he be a popular governor, he would be an effective governor. And there's the legislature. I talked to those guys I served with and the new crowd. They are dying for some sort of conservative leadership. I mean, the state legislators, whether in the House or the Senate, but particularly in the Senate, they know that they haven't exactly covered themselves with glory over the last 4 years. They feel like they've been manipulated by the vested interests, the big mules, into not considering things that the people want and actually passing some pretty bad legislation. And I think they want leadership, conservative leadership, and I think Coach would give it to them. And by the way, this is not a paid political announcement. I haven't talked to Tommy Tuberville at all since the congressional election, and never talked to him about running for governor. But I hope he does. He would be fantastic. And the interesting thing is, who's going to be the next U.S. senator? If Tommy Tuberville decides he wants to be governor, who's going to get that Senate seat?
I mean, that 26th election, what we thought we knew, right? The last 4 years senator, we would talk about Will Ainsworth versus Steve Marshall. Well, one of those guys is already out, right? This happens in Alabama, and it shouldn't be necessarily a surprise. It happens, you know, 2010, we were supposed to elect Bradley Byrne, and we got Robert Bentley. In 86, we were supposed to elect Bill Boxley, and we got Guy Hunt. You know, you could go back and in 78 with Fob James. I mean, it happens all throughout, certainly with Big Jim Folsom, I think. The Alabama voters, while they are very underwhelming in primaries right now in a one-party state, I think will every now and then throw you a curveball.
They absolutely will. But Alabamians react very positively to strong leadership. And I got news for you. You put somebody like Tommy Tuberville in the governor's mansion, and he's not going to be working from 10 to 3. I mean, if Coach decides to run for governor, he's going to run the state. He's going to be out there actually forcing the bureaucracy to actually implement policies that work. And that's what we need. I mean, if you are honest about, like, Alabama's economy right now, we are one of the most heavily regulated economies in the country. I mean, we hear, oh, we're conservative and we're a low regulation state. Well, that's just not true. we're a low regulation state if you're a giant enterprise, but if you're a small businessman, we have one of the most adverse business climates in the country, and the legislature has either been unwilling or unable to change it. I think you put a guy like Coach in the governor's mansion who actually cares about small business, as he's proven as a U.S. senator. I think things change. I think the legislature will be forced to act. And I put the same thing on the schools. I don't think Tommy Tuberville will be satisfied just to be one quiet member of the state school board while we fail another generation of Alabama students. I mean, I would love to see him in the governor's mansion just to see what he'd do with education. I mean, you just don't get many non-politicians.
Well, I also believe
it's awesome. I love it.
I mean, you're right. It's not just regulation, but everything seems slanted for big business. It's like, well, when we talk about giving tax cuts or tax breaks, they'll tell you, well, Jeff, you know, we are a low taxation state. Yeah, if you own property, you don't pay a lot of taxes in Alabama. But, man, we have like the highest sales taxes in the nation, and not everybody owns property. They don't get the benefit of this low tax burden unless you own property. And we know why this was done in the 1901 Constitution, because the planters wanted, you know, low taxes. So, like, they got to dispense with this, like, regressive propaganda or regressive tax structure propaganda. But you're right. I mean, the state isn't, it's not like a traditional, like, Burkean conservative bastion. It's sort of a, you know, it's very favored toward certain sectors.
Well, absolutely. Well, and it is, look, what should matter to conservative politicians or working families that are raising kids? That's the most important group in your state. And that is the group that that our politics ignores the most. In other words, like you point out, sales tax. Yeah, it doesn't hurt corporate Alabama to have high sales taxes, but it kills working families. This gas tax is a perfect example of a pro-corporatist but anti-family piece of economic policy. Yeah, it provides a lot of money to build roads. But for people who were just working every day trying to raise and educate their kids, it was a terrible bill to pass. And what's so awful is that it was Republicans who took the lead in passing it. And I just think that Coach would, you talk about a breath of fresh air. I mean, he would, all of the givens in Alabama politics would be swept away. If we had had the expected Will Ainsworth, who I think has been a good lieutenant governor,
right,
Steve Martin, that I think has been a good attorney general. But let's face it, I don't think either one of those guys was going to just come into Alabama and clean house. It just hasn't been there.
No, you're right. It's a much different approach.
I think Tuberville would change things for the better.
Senator, we're a little long here. We got to get out and get a break. But as always, appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate you talking to our audience.
Anytime. Thanks for letting me on your show, Jeff.
Thank you. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
With the deck of 51, smoking cigarettes and watching.